You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
Breakout! This is the time.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church here on a Sunday. Gene and I are so delighted that you are attending church here across America and around the world we go. And we're delighted to have you in church this morning on this, second Sunday of January. So it's great to be in church, isn't it, Jean?
Yes, it is. And good morning, Breakout family. We're so thankful for all of you today. It's going to be a great day at Breakout Radio Church.
Yes, it is. And I've been up this morning and I've prayed for every one of you, every member of our church. I've been praying for you this morning. I've called out your name. And of course, it's good to be at Breakout Radio Church. And of course, you know that we're a global missions church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command. Now in our third year of being at Breakout Radio Church, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And of course, we're a house of prayer for all nations. Some people wonder why we call it Breakout Radio Church. What does breakout mean? Well, after leading prayer at the White House in 1996, the Holy Spirit spoke to me from Micah 2:13. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out. Pass through the gate. Go out by it. The king will pass before them with the Lord at their hand. So this is a breakout. We started Breakout Ministries, Breakout Prayer Network, and now here we are at Breakout Radio Church. It's going to be a great day. One of our church members, Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn, is going to be ministering this morning, the name of Jesus is going to be lifted high. And I'm excited about the service this morning. As I said, I've already prayed for each of you. And so Gene and I, we're going to join today here at the microphone, and we're going to pray for the service. It's going to be a wonderful day today. Gene, to think that we have members all across America and around the world is quite surreal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a very exciting time because next month I'm gonna celebrate my 75th birthday. And
yes,
I'm inviting all the church members to come to Austin, Texas.
That's right.
Next month, we're going to have a birthday party on the 21st of February, and we're going to have an all-day prayer and prophetic gathering on Friday the 22nd. It's going to be two great days in Austin at Austin Cathedral. We're going to be sending out information, and then in March, you and I are going to celebrate our 58th wedding anniversary in our 52nd year of full-time ministry. It's been a wonderful journey.
Yes, it has. It's going to be a great time next month. We're hoping that all of you can come and help us celebrate.
Come to Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get to be with each other, have our picture taken together. It's going to be a great time. Father, we just pray for the service today in Jesus' name, that you would just come and minister by the power of your Holy Spirit. Anoint the service this morning. We pray for every need that is represented at Breakout Radio Church. Those who may be sick, afflicted, those who may need a job, they're going through a crisis, a time of grief, whatever may be happening, we pray for them.
Yes.
We lift them up in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that you would anoint our spiritual ears to hear, our spiritual eyes to see, our heart to receive this morning.
Yes.
During this service, in the name of Jesus, we ask it in your name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Gene, it's wonderful to be able to lead this breakout radio church, to have members all across America and around the world. And we are going to start today with some praise and worship. I was just thinking this morning about how blessed we are, how very blessed we are. And a friend of mine, Tom Autry, is going to lead us in praise and worship today. He wrote a song many years ago that he sung many times when he and his wife Janie used to travel with Gene and I for several years. And it's a song that he wrote called "I'm Blessed Coming In and I'm Blessed Going Out." And then when Tom gets through leading us in praise and worship, Dr. Gerald Davis, one of our church members, he's going to come and receive our Sunday morning tithes and contributions. So, but first of all, here's Tom Autry and the cousin of Gene Autry. And this is a true report. He's going to come and he's going to lead us in some praise and worship. And then Dr. Gerald Davis is going to come receive the Sunday morning tithes and offering. So let's lift up our voices and declare that we are blessed today. God said to Abraham, "I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing." So we desire to be a blessing.
I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. You gave me something to shout about. Something to shout about. Something to shout about. I know that I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. You gave me something to shout about. shout about, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 We are so blessed. Lord, we bless your name today. We honor your name today. You're a wonderful God, awesome God, mighty God. We are so blessed. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. And we're grateful today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be in church on this Sunday morning, Breakout Radio Church, as we broadcast live at our ministry center here in Austin, Texas, on a beautiful Sunday morning in January. Hallelujah. We're blessed. Lord, we thank you for another new year, a new year. And we believe it's going to be 2019. It's going to be a wonderful year. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a marvelous year. And we are so very, very thankful. Somebody magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We magnify you today. We are so blessed. We're so blessed. We are blessed. And we are blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful to have a man that told me years ago, Dale, if you keep being a blessing, you'll never run out of blessing. I'm talking about one of our church members, Dr. Gerald Davis, who's coming to receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. It's good to have Dr. Gerald Davis receiving our tithes and offerings each Sunday. He's one of the great preachers in America and one of the greatest teachers on giving that I've ever heard. So Gerald Davis is coming. God bless you as you come to receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. God bless you. God bless you.
Good morning. Good morning. So good to be with you again today on Breakout Radio Church. I love your ministry and thank God for you many times over. I want to share a thought or two about the difference between tithing and giving momentarily, and then we'll pray over the people's sharing. I was sitting at my desk in Odessa, Texas, 45 years ago, and I was questioning God on why we didn't see more money for ministries, greatest work in the world. The only work's going to lap over into eternity, the only one. Why don't we have more money to work with? And I was quizzing God. I just said, Lord, I don't want to pray. I just want to ask you some questions. Because I was born and raised in this, and always, always a shortage and lack of money to get the work of God done. And the Lord began to show me some things. And it's been different than the way I always thought and had always heard. But, you know, God said your thoughts are not mine, your ways are not mine as a result of it. If we did things like God, we'll have what God promised. So here's what I want to say. If the tithe belongs to God, I mean, if he literally uses the word, you robbed me because you didn't give it to me, then the tithe didn't come out of my money. It came out of the increase God gave me, but he calls that the first fruits, which is his money. And I said, Father, help me know the difference between the tithe and the offering. You talked of two ways, two blessings that you would bless us. One, you said, I'll rebuke the devourer, that's the devil, for your sake, and he won't destroy your goods. And the other, second one was, I'll make windows in heaven and pour out blessings till you don't have room to receive it. So I said, which, Father, blessing goes with which? Which goes with tithe? Which goes with offering? And here's what I heard in my spirit. You know, like begets like. I heard this. You put out what you want to receive. And I heard the Lord say this to me. When you tithe, you didn't give me your money. You gave me my money. What have you done with your money? And then he said, when you tithe, I stop the devil from stealing your money because you didn't steal my money. Put out what you want to get back. When you honor me, I honor you. In the same fashion, don't steal from me, I stop the devil from stealing from you. That's one of the greatest lessons I have ever learned about being consistent with my tithe. Things change in appearances, you know. Sometimes we have good days, sometimes not so good. Sometimes the money is there, sometimes it's short. But that stops me from ever worrying. Once I tithe, I know that God is a God of integrity. If he is anything, he keeps his word. And he's done it for us. So then I said, well, Father, now how does the offering work? And here's what I heard. If a farmer hires somebody to go into his field, say he's got 40 acres, and he gives the man the seed to go out there and broadcast his seed in his field, at the end of the seed sowing time, be it a week, 2 weeks, whatever, when he comes back to the farmer, was he sowing seed? Was he a seed sower? Oh, yes. Well, is he going to get the harvest then? Well, no. Why? Because it was not his seed he was sowing. He was sowing the farmer's seed, which would be the tithe, the equivalent of the tithe. So if he's sowing the farmer's seed, which a farmer provided for him, which God did when he gave us a job, then how is it that the farmer is going to give the harvest to the laborer who sowed his seed on his behalf? That's not the way it works. He's going to give him wages. And those wages are consistent with not stealing God's money, and God stops the devil from stealing our money. That's the wages he gives us. Then if I want the increase, the multiplied blessing, poured out till I don't have room to receive it, blessing, that second one, then I'm going to have to do something out of my, it's my investment. Whoever owns the seed has the right to the harvest. So the laborer goes out from what little money he's gained and earned, and he invests, buys him a field. And he sows his seed in that field. It's his seed that gives him a right to the harvest. And that's when I saw it. It's my offerings that generate the second blessing, poured out till I don't have room to receive it, multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It comes back into my bosom because it was my seed that I sowed. So with that thought I would leave with your folks today and with your radio audience and help them understand that God blesses us when we bless him. He keeps the devil off of our money when we don't steal his money. Father, I thank you so much this morning for this opportunity to share a thought or two that you've given to me over the years that have changed my life, brought me out of debt. You've kept me out of debt now for 31 years. I haven't had to borrow. I know what you do. I've seen it happen. I worked it. I walked through it. I processed it just like you told me. And this is the life now that you have given. I pray this blessing on your people today. Speak to each one, Father, what kind of offering you'd have them share. Aside from the tithe that they share, give them some idea in their heart based on their own need. I know if I sow bountifully, I reap bountifully, Father. If I sow sparingly, the principle is that's the way I reap, sparingly. So we want your people blessed. Give them thoughts, ideas, put it in their spirit what they can share and give to help Pastor Dale spread this gospel like he's doing through his daily prayers and through all the radio work and the contacts and the different ministries that love him and believe in him as I do. Thank you for it, Father, in the blessed name above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who still lives and ever lives to make intercession on my behalf. When I do what you told me to, you always keep your promise to me. Thank you, Father, for a determined 100% fulfilled year for the people now that are supporting and sponsoring your work wherever and however you tell them to do it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Gerald Davis, my longtime friend. Longtime friend since about 1989. And one of the great preachers in America, author, and boy, he's touched so many people's lives. What a wonderful teaching on tithe and giving. Gene and I practiced that for 57 years of our marriage, and it works. And we can know that he supplies daily bread and monthly fruit. I want to give you an opportunity to give today. If you're making a check, make your check to Breakout Ministries. That's Breakout Ministries. Your gifts, of course, are tax deductible. And you can mail your check to P.O. Box 91985, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. And if you want to give by PayPal or credit card or debit card, all you need to do is go to bpnradio.com. That's bpnradio.com. Right at the top of bpnradio.com is a donate button. If you click on that donate button, you can use your credit card, your PayPal, your debit card, and we would be grateful for your faithfulness. Grateful for your faithfulness, because God is a faithful God. And so, as you get ready to give today, I want to pray for you. Father, I bless the people that are giving today. I bless them abundantly. I bless them bountifully. Thank you for your word, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And if we give sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. If we give bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. And I pray, Lord, for the members of Breakout Radio Church that are giving today. Bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you as you give. Go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and click on the donate button there. And you can give or you can send your check. God bless you. Well, it is my pleasure today introduce our guest speaker. We don't have very many guest speakers at Breakout Radio Church, but we're honored today to have one of our church members who is preaching today, Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn, and she's a wonderful person, and I've had her on my radio program on several times, and she is a blessing. And Dr. Vaughn recently ministered, well, just last month, to 10 million people in a worldwide gathering in Laos, Nigeria, West Africa. And Dr. Vaughn is from Dallas, Texas, is a retired ophthalmologist, an eye surgeon, speaker, and author, and, of course, a preacher of the Word. And we welcome her today as she comes to minister here at Breakout Radio Church on this Sunday morning. God bless you, Dr. Vaughn.
Thank you, Dale. I know that some of you may have heard a little bit about this Nigerian church. The name of it is Redeemed Christian Church of God, headquarters in Lagos, Nigeria. And I spoke a little bit of it earlier this week, but we ran out of time, and Dale asked me if I would speak to you further about it. So I don't have much time this morning with you, but I'll spend the time I do have hitting the high points as the Holy Ghost brings them to my remembrance. The founder of this church is a man named Akinde Yomi. Excuse me. And actually, he was born into a farming family in rural Nigeria. His father, being a farmer, thought there was no value in education, so he did not educate his children. Consequently, Kendall Yomi became an illiterate man as he was growing up. He always had a heart toward God, but the God of his father that it was in his childhood family was the God of iron, so he was fervent toward the God of iron until, by some miraculous things, I won't go into the details, but he did come to the saving knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Of course, that changed everything in his life. He took a wife and continued to seek God in his own heart. The Lord came to him and told him that he wanted him to build a church for him. And the commission or the command that God gave him was that this church would go to the ends of the earth and prepare a people for the Lord. That's specifically the command God gave him, that this church would go to the ends of the earth and prepare a people for the Lord. And the Lord gave him a vision with some letters on it. He told him that would be the name of the church, but of course the man couldn't read. He was illiterate. So he wrote down faithfully the vision, the letters. He wrote the letters down that he saw in the vision. And when he showed it to someone that was literate, he found out the name of the church was to be Redeemed Christian Church of God. So that's been the name of the church from its inception, which it began in 1952. He supernaturally was able to read by the power of the Holy Ghost, and he got a Bible in his own native language, and for the first time was able to read it, was able to write his own signature instead of just giving a thumbprint, and so it opened the scriptures to him. Being a heathen man, he had married three wives by this time, and the second wife had borne a number of children for him. But as he read the scriptures, he came to the conclusion that having three wives was the same as adultery. And he knew he couldn't do that. He was a stickler to abide by the word of God. And he was also extremely obedient to the Holy Spirit. So he had to, according to the scriptures, his understanding of the scriptures, he had to let his second wife and his third wife go. So he had to tell them that they were no longer his wives and why. Now, the second wife had borne a number of children for him, so he was a credible man, the best he could be. He told the woman he would take care of the children, and she couldn't stay there, but he would even help support her until she found another husband, which he did. The third woman was kind of a contentious woman. He told her she could have anything in the house that she wanted to take. Consequently, she took just about every single thing in the house, but he felt okay about it because, you know, in his heart, he felt bad about what he was doing, but on the other hand, he had to obey God above all other things. So, you know, sometimes the Word of God tells us to do things that we don't really want to do, things that are difficult, but it's a choice that we each have every day, in fact, all day, every day, of doing either what God tells us to do, either directly through the Holy Ghost or through His Word, either obeying that or else going to do whatever we want to do. The choice is ours, and then, of course, we have to live with consequences of those choices. With time, the Lord showed him that there would be a man that would come in. This is as he was getting to be an older man, that there would be a younger man come in, and he showed the founder what the newcomer would look like, how tall he was, what he would weigh, what jacket size he would wear, and that younger man would be the one God chose to take over the entire ministry. So the founder just told his church members right away to begin praying fervently for this person, this man that was going to be a newcomer that God had chosen to take over the ministry. So in obedience to him, they all started praying fervently, and they continued praying fervently for 5 years. Before I go into who this man was, I want to tell you another important thing. There's a book that was written about the life of Kendall Yomi, and the name of the book is The Seed in the Ground. And God told him some specific things that I wanted to read to you from the book, because I don't want to add or subtract to what God has said. So I'm going to read this at this time. This is what it says. Papa Akindayomi had been promised by God. Did you hear that? Promised by God. That means God made him a promise that if he would do what God told him, that God would do what God promised. Okay. So he had been promised by God that if he would keep his church free of questionable fundraising methods such as Harvest, Bazaar, etc., like other churches around him then, that he, God, would prosper his church so much that their wealth would stagger the imagination of onlookers and raise eyebrows. So God's promise was he would stagger the imagination of people with the enormous wealth that he would give to this church, providing that he would keep his church free of questionable, quote, questionable fundraising methods. The Holy Spirit was to be given prime place in the church's affair. Papa was equally commanded by God to follow the Holy Spirit strictly in structuring his church administration. He was to allow the Lord to influence his choice of persons into key positions and never rely on his own feelings. The founder realized that the church belonged to the Lord, and only he, the Lord, could build it, not any man. He never did his own thing, but relied completely on the administration of the Holy Spirit. So those are interesting and profound things that God told him. I think God would say the same thing to any one of our leaders, that they must follow very strictly what the Holy Ghost says, not be led by their own feelings, because we as human beings, as you know, I'm sure you've experienced it, we've all experienced it, that we try to make choices the best we can, and they end up being a big fat mess is what they end up. Sometimes people make decisions and then they say, God, please bless my decisions. But that's exactly the wrong thing for all of us to do. We should all do what we've just read about Akindayomi, and that is, you ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want? What man or woman do you want in charge? And whatever God says, that's what we need to do. You ask him, and then that's what you need to do. You know, because the Holy Ghost is 100% right 100% of the time. So if we ask him and do what he says, we will be 100% right. If we do not ask him and do what we think, then it's kind of a 50-50 coin toss as to whether you're going to end up right or wrong. Because, you know, the word says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction or death. So we cannot 100% of the time make correct decisions, but the Holy Ghost can. So I've learned that lesson, and I hope that you have too. So anyway, they were praying. Remember, the church was praying year in and year out for 5 years that God's choice as the successor would arrive. Well, one day a young man came in. Oh, by the way, God had told him it would be an educated man. This young man walked in. He was 39 years of age, in his 30s. He walked in, and he was a college professor of mathematics, and he was exactly the man that God had shown the founder. So when he saw the man walk in the door, he told his church that very day, he said, you can stop praying for the successor because God has sent him here among us today. The name of that young college mathematics professor was E.A. Adeboye. So when the founder died on November the 2nd, 1980, this young college professor, Adeboye, took over 1981. Well, he was obviously, in retrospect, we can see that over the last 39 years, he's been in charge of this church, and it has grown enormously. When he took it over, it was just a church within Nigeria. But since he took it over, of course, the world vision was implanted in him by the founder. And so he would choose select people and send them to other countries to plant churches, or a church in that country, and when they planted that, then he would send others, and even those people would would multiply themselves, so to speak, and create other churches, so that the Redeemed Christian Church of God started growing in many nations of the world until today it's in 197 nations. So it's dispersed throughout the world, fulfilling or in an attempt to fulfill the vision that God gave the founder. In fact, the vision statement of Redeemed Christian Church of God, I'm going to just call it Redeemed from now on so I won't have to say the long title. The number one thing they want to do is make heaven themselves personally. In order to do that, they accomplish it by holiness being a lifestyle. Holiness being a lifestyle. And Adeboye is very much a leader that exemplifies that. His life is a life of holiness, and so are the people within the church that follow him. And the second thing they want to do is to take as many people as possible with us when we leave this earth. And to accomplish that, they plant churches within 5 minutes walking distance of every city and town of developing countries, and within 5 minutes driving distance in every city and town of developed countries. And those objectives, they said, these objectives, they will pursue them until every nation on the world is reached for Jesus Christ. So it's an aggressive vision and mission, but everything humanly possible and everything enabled by the Holy Ghost is being done to accomplish that. Adeboye is a man of very fervent prayer. He's a man of living in a holy way, and he's also has a very humble disposition, which is unusual for a man of that magnitude. In December, in the Newsweek magazine of 2008, they named Adeboye as one of the 50 most influential people in the world. You can imagine, 197 nations, they have churches, and he's the leader of all of this. So I'm gonna move on to my experiences at the meeting that I went to this last December, which was just last month. I didn't have much time to share this last time I spoke about it, so I'm gonna repeat a little bit of it for those of you who didn't get to hear on Monday when I spoke. In my church, there's a wonderful singer named Big John Hall. Many of you know him. And he got up one day and spoke about going to a church in Nigeria that had millions of people there and a huge facility. And I was already scheduled to go to Nigeria and to Kenya and to Uganda. So at the end of that church service, I went to John and I said, "John, you know, I'd really love to see that facility in Nigeria that you spoke of. I mean, it sounded just amazing." And so the wheels went into motion, and I got connected with a woman who's one of the top people for Redeemed Church in North America. Her name is Dr. Fumi. And we had dinner together and talked about the Lord and about Redeemed, and I gave her my books and I gave her some DVDs, and we got to know each other a little bit over dinner that night. So she, being a very efficient person, went to work, and she did much more than I asked for. She set up appointments for me to meet some of the top people in Redeemed, and as well as see the facility and so forth. Well, then I was kind of on the horns of a dilemma, because I already had a Nigerian pastor that had scheduled ministers' conferences and church preaching in different churches and things. He'd scheduled all of that already all over Nigeria. And I couldn't do both at the same time, so I asked the Lord, "What shall I do?" And the Lord said, "Well, you need to go with the pastor that's worked so hard to set up all of these meetings." And so I had to call Dr. Fumi and tell her, "I'm so sorry I've put you to all this trouble. I'm so sorry, but I cannot come to Nigeria." And so she was understanding. I'm sure she didn't like it, because now she had to undo all that she had done, but she was very kind about it. So when I hung up from that conversation, I thought to myself, I don't know if I'll ever hear from those people at Redeemed again in my life, because, you know, I just shut the door on them. But it didn't really matter to me, because I trust God to open the doors he wants me to walk through and to shut the doors he doesn't want me to walk through. And so that works well for him and works well for me, and so it was fine with me either way. Well, I didn't hear anything. That was I spoke with her and canceled it. Probably was March. of 2018. Okay, so I didn't hear anything for several months. Actually, for about 4 months till about July, I got a call. It was Dr. Fumi, and she said, we want to invite you to come to our big meeting in December and to speak there. Well, that told me, and I prayed about it, obviously. It told me that this was a door that God was opening. So I was happy, very happy. I was going to get to see the facility, and now they'd even asked me to speak, which was not, I mean, I hadn't even thought about that. I just wanted to see the facility. So here I go in December with Dr. Fumi and her husband. And Monday we got the program, and they told me I was going to speak on a Saturday afternoon. Okay, when I got the program and looked at it, I realized Saturday afternoon was going to, and most afternoon, they would have breakout sessions where you would have four or five topics to choose from. And so mine was going to be one of the topics on Saturday afternoon. Well, that was fine. Okay, Tuesday came along, and at the end of, by the way, every night from 6 till 7, all the ministers would get together in a room, a huge room, I might say, because there may be 100,000 ministers there. So it was a huge room. And so we would pray. We would pray, fervently pray, sing songs, and worship God together, but mainly pray. Most of the people would be on their knees by their chair, including me. I mean, it was a 1 hour of fervent prayer. I think that's a great idea before church services. So that happened from 6 to 7 every night. Then at 7 o'clock, the meeting would start, and it would go till whenever, sometimes 11, sometimes 12, sometimes, well, 2. On Friday night, it ended about 2, I think. So that's the usual schedule. So Tuesday night, when I was on my way home on the bus, they had a shuttle bus that took us to our facility. And on that bus, my phone rang, which in itself was a miracle because I never could get cell phone coverage there. But it rang that time on the bus, and it was a man named Elder O'Wary. He becomes a very important part in this puzzle, so keep his name, Elder O'Wary. He says to me, Bishop so-and-so was scheduled to speak on Friday night, but he's not going to be able to come to Nigeria. Would you be able to take his place on Friday night and speak on the topic, the King of Glory? Well, right away I said yes. Now, Friday night is the biggest, by far the biggest night of the entire convention, which starts on Monday and ends on Saturday night. It was by far the biggest. And he told me most of the speakers that night would have half an hour. I had from 8:30 to 9. Well, you know, the thing that was so astounding about that to me was that when I was in my home in Texas, God gave me a vision of standing on a very large, high stage and overlooking enormous, huge numbers of people. And in the vision, I had called down to the front everybody that was totally blind, not just people with poor vision, but totally blind people. And they had lined up in front of me, of the whole auditorium. Okay, so that vision he had given me, well, I knew when I got the bulletin that Saturday afternoon was not the venue for that. But when Elder O'Wary called me and asked me to speak Friday night, I saw that put me right in the middle of the biggest night of the entire convention, which would be the venue that he had given me in the dream. The other tiny detail that's so interesting to me, I pray about everything. I ask the Holy Ghost what he wants me to take to wear while I was on this trip. And one of the things he told me really shocked me. It's a long black silk Chinese jacket with gold braid all over it, which I never wear that. That's, you know, one of the, well, probably the best piece of apparel that I even own. And he told me to pack it. Can you imagine packing that jacket and carrying it off to the other side of the world? Anyway, I always do what the Holy Ghost tells me. So I obeyed him and I put that silk jacket in. Well, now, when I got the topic, King of Glory, in the middle of Friday night service, I knew that's why God had me pack that beautiful Chinese jacket with gold braid all over it, because it would be a representation of the King of Glory that I was speaking about. Maybe that's small to you, but that's a big deal to me, that he can tell you what clothes to choose when you don't have a clue why, but you just do it anyway. So Thursday night then, they took me to meet with Pastor Adeboye, which is also a very big deal because most people don't even have that opportunity. But they took me to meet him, and I explained my vision to him about calling the blind people forth and everything. And his instruction to me was, whatever the Holy Ghost tells you to do, then you just do it. I knew he would say that because I knew he was led by the Holy Ghost. So I was happy that that was settled. Well, he told me something I was unaware of. He said that Elder O'Weary had come to him and said, there's this woman in America, this doctor, that I think we need to put on the speaking schedule. Well, what you don't realize, and I didn't realize, is they schedule their speaking schedule a year in advance. So by the time 1 year's conference is finished, they've already scheduled the speakers for the next year's conference. So how in the world there was even a spot, I don't know. But anyway, O'Weary came to him. And Adeboye said to Elder O'Weary, he said, you know our protocol. You know our protocol. We cannot do this. He said, the first time somebody comes, now here, I'm getting explained for the first time to me what the protocol is. I didn't know any of this, but Adeboye is explaining it to me. He says, the first time someone comes, it doesn't matter where in the world they came from. The protocol is for them to sit and watch and observe, nothing else. The second time, if they come from wherever part in the world, he said, if we feel they're really, you know, high quality and deserve to have some time, he said, we will give them 3 minutes, 3 minutes to give a, quote, greeting. 3 minutes. I only saw one person during this conference that had the privilege of giving a three-minute greeting. But anyway, so then he said, and then the third year they come, you know, if we think they're really special, we may ask for them to submit some sermons or this and that. They look all into the detail of the person. And then, you know, if ever they get a chance to say one word in that place from the pulpit, it's absolutely astonishing because there's literally, they, you know, like at least 100,000 ministers there. And some each one of these ministers may be the head of another huge ministry. So, I mean, this is so rare. It's so rare. So anyway, he told O'Weary, he said, Elder O'Weary, you know this protocol. We have to abide by the protocol. Well, the next day O'Weary would come back and he'd say the same thing. And Adeboye, Pastor Adeboye, would tell him, no, you know our protocol. Well, bottom line is, O'Weary kept coming to him day after day, day after day, day after. Finally, Adeboye says, okay, put the lady in the schedule. So they put me in on Saturday afternoon. Well, I hadn't known any of that whole big protocol, or I would have been amazed in the first place. But now I'm really amazed to find out what all had gone on, and now God had made a way for me to speak not only once but twice during this Congress, which nobody for sure does that except Adeboye himself. So I know one thing. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the message that God wanted to give the people, because he'd shown me so many wonderful things here just in the quiet. He sequestered me in the quietness of my home and has been teaching me many, many things that transformed my life. And he told me that they were messages for the body of Christ, that they would transform the lives of other people that heard the messages. And so that's why he sent me. It was because of the messages, not because of me. I just happened to be an available, yielded body. Well, so Friday night came, I stood on that great platform that I had seen in my vision. I called the blind people forward like I had seen in my vision. I did everything that the Lord showed me to do in my vision. And I just have to cut through some of these things quickly. After that, they took me to a very special place to get me a bottle of cold water. It was over 90 degrees and I was dripping wet. And so as I was drinking my cold water, a man comes in and they introduce him as the vice president of the nation of Nigeria. This still is funny to me that here I am, a little lady from Texas, you know, and now I'm being introduced to the vice president of the nation of Nigeria. And then the man says to me, the vice president says to me, he said, I just saw you ministering And he said, would you mind if I had my picture made with you? Well, you know, I could have rolled on the floor and laughed over that, but instead I just stood there and let his attaché or whoever to take the pictures. So God was doing such phenomenal things. Then when I got home to my guest house that night, a man followed me into the foyer of the guest house. He introduced, his name is Ivan. He gave me his card. It's a Russian name. He has a church in Moscow. He said, I'm one of the 12 men that oversees 3,500 Pentecostal churches in Russia, and we want you to come to our country and share these words with our people. So God was working overtime. What I want you to see, there's a song that we sing at our church, and it says, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And it says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Well, I look back at that 4 months that I didn't know if they'd ever call me again in my life. And during those 4 months, I found out that Elder O'Weary was in Dallas because of some family business. He was there for 3 months. And Dr. Fumi, the lady that I had met, she's the only one I had met from Redeemed, she had been telling, during these 3 months O'Weary was there in Dallas, she had been telling him about me. She gave him my books, she gave him my DVDs, and she said, and she had thoroughly investigated me herself, and she felt like God wanted me to speak at that Congress. So she kept telling O'Weary that day by day, day by day, day by day. And so then he had a chance to read my books, look at the DVDs of glory stories. By the way, you could go to my website if you wanted to read the books free download, or you wanted to see all 27 of the glory stories. My website is godsinstrument.com. Godsinstrument.com. So O'Weary, then he becomes just as enthusiastic as Dr. Fumi had been, and that's why he went to Pastor Adeboye and was so insistent that I be put on the schedule. What I want you to see is that God was working, 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 working during those 4 months when, to my knowledge, nothing whatsoever was happening. So you see, in your life, that same God that was working during those months is the same God that's working in the background of your life. Like the song says, you know, even when you don't see him working, even when you don't feel him working, he is working. He's working, working, working for you, for the things that he wants to accomplish in your life. So don't despair because you see nothing. Because one day, like the phone rang one day, And it was the whole, it opened up this whole world that I never even heard of Redeemed Christian Church of God. And it's one of the biggest churches worldwide. So now we're all being educated about this. I want to tell you about Saturday. Oh gosh, I don't have a couple minutes. Saturday, when I announced that I was going to hand out, letters from Catherine Kuhlman to the people there. So when I finished speaking, they mobbed me, literally mobbed me, and I had to have security come get me and take me out because they wanted one of those letters from Catherine Kuhlman. And I found out later that they would tear those letters apart into little pieces, and they would take little pieces of that paper, feeling that they were anointed of God, and they would take the pieces of paper, and people would get healed from the pieces of paper. They would get set free from demon forces. They will, you know, that because they believed so strongly in the power of God in that little piece of a letter, that God would move in miraculous ways. He had done that in many other ways for people at Redeemed Church. I want to summarize this in my own thinking. The reason they've had such great success is because, number one, the Holy Ghost is totally in control. Number two, that they have emphasized holy living. Number three, they're 100% obedient to the Word of God and to the Holy Ghost. Number four, they have a life of fervent prayer and fasting. And number five, they have vigorous evangelism. If we as individuals and as churches would do what this church is doing, the world would soon be won for Jesus Christ, which is what we were told to do by our Lord and Master. Father, let these words be imprinted on people's lives. I ask you to set a fire in their souls, Lord, that they will want to seek you with all their heart. They will want to fast and pray and obey you, Holy Spirit, and obey your word and be set on fire by you, that the world may be won in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Dale, for having me. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn, for ministering today here at Breakout Radio Church. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful sermon by one of our church members. And, you know, when you say, wow, you got to minister to 10 million people, I know people kind of take a second look at that. But it was 3.5 miles wide, 3.5 miles long of people gathering from all over the world. And a divine appointment, divine connection. Of course, that's what we talk about so many times here at Breakout Radio Church. And Gene and I have ministered that for many, many years, traveling across America and many nations of the world. And that's what we pray for each day, divine appointments and divine connections. So those of you that are in church today, whether you're a member of Breakout Radio Church or you're just visiting Breakout Radio Church, I'm here to tell you that just as things happen in Dr. Vaughn's life this past 2018, things can happen in your life, and you must know that God is setting things up for you. Divine appointments and divine connections. Somebody has a key to open the door that you need to go through. And it can happen. It can happen quickly. It can happen suddenly. Sometimes, you know, it's like nothing, 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 pow. All of a sudden, these doors open. All of a sudden, things happen. So we cannot afford to be discouraged, disheartened, because we know that God is always at work. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we know that he is responding to our prayers. So I just pray the will of God be done in your life as an individual. Whatever God has planned, the plan I know is a good plan to give you a future and a hope. And I pray for those of you in attendance today at Breakout Radio Church that you will say, Lord, your will be done, and allow God to begin to set it up. The Spirit of the Lord leading and guiding and directing the steps of a good person ordered by the Lord. And so I just pray blessings upon you today, and the will of God be done in your life. May he give you the desires of your heart. And I want to give an invitation for those of you that don't know the Lord to accept him as your personal Savior. Never want a Sunday to go by where we don't give someone an opportunity to know Jesus. You know, if you don't know the Lord, you've never been a Christian, maybe you're a backslider, far away from God, or maybe you just don't know for sure. You just don't have the assurance of your salvation. I want to say a prayer for you right now. Would you say this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. With your strength and help, I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. And if you've said that prayer, that simple prayer, your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to live with him throughout eternity. If you'd like to be a member of Breakout Radio Church, we have members all across America and nations of the world. All you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, BPN, which stands for Breakout Prayer Network, bpnradio.com. And you'll see home, you'll see radio, you'll see Breakout Ministries. And when you see Breakout Ministries, you'll see Breakout Radio Church. And you just click on Breakout Radio Church, and you'll see a church membership form. Go to bpnradio.com, click on Breakout Ministries, and under that will be Breakout Radio Church. There's a membership form there with your name, your email, your phone number, your address, and then you can have a prayer request, and I'll put you on my list. If you need to contact me, my personal email address is dalegenegentry@cs.com. DaleGeneGentry@cs.com. Gene, it's been great to have people in church today.
Yes, it has. It's been a great day at Breakout Radio Church, and we trust that you have a blessed day and know that we love you.
Yes, we love you. This church, this service will be replayed at 10 o'clock this morning, Central Time, all throughout the week. Have a wonderful day. God bless you for coming to church this morning.